about medicines. And so, Julia, why don't you tell our listeners how you got involved, about your book, Honest Medicine, and certainly about the various products that you have written about, which you think are beneficial for people that most people don't even know about. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Stan. It's been a while since I've been on. I'm so delighted to be on your show again. As I say in my book, In Honest Medicine, I really, really didn't start out to want to educate the public about the medical system. I really didn't. My dad was a doctor back in the, quote, good old days, and he kind of told me to steer clear of doctors and the medical system. He said, just like you said, he said even back then it was based on money and it was not good. But then in 1990, when my husband, Tim, was 40 years old, it was 5 years after we got married, he was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. So I had no choice but to step up, you know, and become involved with the medical system. And what I found out was really, really upsetting to me. What I found out was that doctors were not interested, kind of what you were talking about in the introduction. They were not interested in learning about treatments that would be very, very effective if they were not big blockbuster money makers. And this became obvious to me. For the first several years, we did just what the doctor said, you know, chemo, radiation, of course, first surgery. His tumor was the size of an orange. And then I began to see that he was suffering every side effect of the treatment, especially the radiation. He had a radiation-caused stroke. He had many seizures. I began to say, I've got to step up and start trying to help him, you know, live a better life. And I did. And what I found, Dr. Stan, is that the doctors were not at all interested in the things we were doing.
Okay, hold that line, but suddenly the average doctor is not making a fabulous fortune, but the pharmaceutical industry is. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
That thought, well, that thought. Well, anyway, of course, what happened to Julia was that her husband had a first brain operation, all sorts of complications, second brain operation, and suddenly at that time, the skin would not heal. It had radiation, and the radiation, of course, it destroys the ability of skin in many instances to heal. And so he had six or seven subsequent operations. Each one of them failed. They were trying to get skin to grow, and somebody had told Julia about certainly a cloth, a fabric impregnated with silver, which actually would get the skin to heal. With the doctor's permission, she put it on her husband's head, and the skin healed. But when she tried to tell the doctor about this product, he just couldn't believe. He thought it was other things that they were doing that had gotten it to heal. He did not want to believe. And I will tell you that doctors are, well, we're a little egotistical, and we don't like to believe that sometimes patients are smarter than we are. Well, after about 40 or 50 years, I began to realize that some of the patients were pretty smart, and I began to listen to them. But it's very, very hard, I think, for the average doctor to suddenly have to turn his back on everything he has always believed and listen to a patient who says, look, the skin is healing now. Aren't you interested? And, well, it was, well, what did the doctor say? What was his explanation for the healing?
You're going to love this. So are your listeners, Dr. Stan. I say this with great irony because it was obvious. You know, we put the silver line on his head. I did. And the next day was the first day that it did not, you know, that it was starting to heal. And I was like, why aren't the doctors more excited? One doctor, an intern, came up to me and said, you know, I don't think it was what you found with the accent on you that healed your husband's skin. And I said, well, doctor, what do you think it was? I mean, you know, he said, well, I've been thinking. I think it was the vancomycin. That's the IV antibiotic that Tim had been on for 6 weeks at least. And I said, but doctor, he's been on vancomycin for 6 weeks at least. And the doctor said, and these are the words that turned me into a patient advocate. He said, Vanco is like that. It kicks in. And I just went, whoa. You know, when something is so there in front of their eyes, they don't want to see it. If, as you pointed out, it was shown to them by a patient, even though it was FDA approved for all non-healing wounds, you know. So for the next several years, my husband remained brain injured, bedbound, which he had not really been walking into the surgery, but he was. It kind of, eight extra surgeries did take their toll. And so I was taking care of him and trying to bring him back, you know. But I knew that someday I was going to have an opportunity, and I wanted to take that opportunity to try to teach people about treatments like Silverlon that don't make anybody a lot of money, but that are more effective. This is the secret here, that are more effective than a lot of the treatments doctors use that are, as you pointed out, promoted to them by Big Pharma, by the pharmaceutical industry. So I set out to find other treatments that fit my category. You know, it's not really alternative medicine. It's an alternative. These treatments are all what I think of as a better alternative than a lot of the treatments doctors are using that are promoted by Big Pharma, that are very expensive, that have loads of side effects. You know that. And the treatments I write about have very few side effects. They're not expensive. And they are time-tested. Oh, that was a big thing for me. They couldn't be newfangled and just have been brought on the market 2 years ago. They had to have been around for at least 20 years. And I found three other treatments. That formed the basis. That Silverlon was, of course, the impetus, but the other three treatments formed the basis, and I'm constantly looking for more treatments that fit, you know, this model of treatments that would be the standard of care if Big Pharma didn't rule doctors' decisions.
And because the FDA basically has approved the Silverlon for you. So, and basically, I'd never even heard of this until I read Judy's book. And you would want to read the book, too. I found it fascinating. You know, I do 5 hours of talk radio 5 days a week. And so we have difficulty reading all the books. And in fact, many of the books we discuss on our programs, I simply scan so that I can discuss them halfway intelligently with the authors. But I will just tell you, I was fascinated enough with this book. I read it through from beginning to end. And I think we carry the book. I'm not certain.
Yes, I believe you do.
Okay, fine. Well, then you can get the book to us or through the Julia. But anyway, what were the other products that you found that were beneficial to people who really were having chronic incurable diseases and nothing seemed to help them?
I'd like to start by talking about the treatment called low-dose naltrexone. And one of the reasons I'd like to start with it is it has the greatest applicability to the most patients out there. And as I talk about it, I think a lot of your listeners will say, oh, this applies to me. Low-dose naltrexone is a very, as it says, low dose of an off-label drug called naltrexone, which was FDA approved in 1984 for drug addiction, for drug addicts at very, very, very high doses, at 50, that's 50 milligrams and higher. And it was supposed to, and Dr. Stam, being a doctor, you could explain it much better than I, but basically, when given to drug addicts, it blocked the high that they would get. The only problem was there was a doctor named Dr. Bernard Bahari, who's one of my book is dedicated to my husband, Tim, and to Dr. Bahari, who has since died. But Dr. Bahari was a huge big shot in New York City government. He ran several of the methadone programs. He ran, you know, programs for drug addicts. So he was there when naltrexone was approved, you know, for drug addiction, for drug addicts. And he gave it to some of his patients, and it was like, whoa, the dose was so high that they got loads of side effects. But Dr. Bahari was a very curious doctor, and he said, this naltrexone, I'll bet at a really low dose, it could have some very good effects for people, because he noticed that it raised endorphin levels and what he calls it modulated or orchestrates the immune system. A lot of the drug addicts that he was dealing with also had what was later to become known as HIV/AIDS. And he found that when he gave it to them in very low doses, now called low-dose naltrexone, 3 milligrams, and later he went up to 4.5, so that's one-tenth of the dose that it was FDA approved for, he found that their HIV/AIDS stopped progressing. And then he said, I'll bet it would also work for other diseases that have at their core a dysfunctional immune system. At that time, one of his daughter had a friend named Chris Lombardi who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And at that time, there were no MS drugs. Excuse me, on the market. So she went to her friend's dad and said, can you give me something? And Dr. Bahari said, yeah, I can give you this low-dose naltrexone. What do you have to lose? What do we have to lose? Indeed, her multiple sclerosis stopped progressing. This was before the age of the internet. It was before the age of, you know, everybody getting online and talking up. All there were phones and papers and pens, you know, so people... Word got around that this drug was low-dose naltrexone. This very non-toxic, very effective, very low-dose drug was good for diseases of the immune system. And people started coming to Dr. Bahari with lupus, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, even asthma. Asthma is being found to have an autoimmune function. Also ulcerative colitis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's is a big one that is now being found to have an autoimmune function, and Graves' disease, all of them. And there are at least 100 autoimmune diseases, and people have been finding low-dose naltrexone to be effective. It's not snake oil. Everybody does not find relief with it, but it's been found to be very, very useful to loads and loads of people. And I like to talk about it. I'm actually writing another book, and it's about low-dose naltrexone and its use for all of these conditions. I kind of picked the most popular ones. By popular, I mean the ones that we know about, you know, even psoriasis and all of that.
Well, now, are there any other doctors who are using this on a number of patients with immune defects?
Yes, and this is the good news. One of the reasons why I love to talk about this one is that, you know, I'm now teaching, doing some teleseminars to train, to teach patients how to talk to their doctors to be able to get them to prescribe low-dose naltrexone. And if that doesn't work, I teach them to say to the doctor, if you don't want to prescribe this low-dose naltrexone for me, if I find another doctor who will prescribe it, will you still follow me? You know, can I still be your patient? And that usually gets a really good response. And you know what? The patient advocates for low-dose naltrexone have put together a magnificent list of doctors, which we cannot put online, you know. But I can send, and so can the other people who have the list, we can send them the names of doctors in their state, who in their, you know, city and state, who will prescribe low-dose naltrexone. So I'm happy to say, all over, there are even low-dose naltrexone conferences where doctors come from all over the world to talk about their successes with it. So it's gaining momentum. It's very wonderful, and it's inexpensive.
Would you mind spelling it? One of our listeners asked you how to spell naltrexone.
Ah, I'd love to. It's low-dose, L-O-W-D-O-S-E, naltrexone, N as in Nancy, A-L, T-R-E-X-O-N-E. And if you want any, if you want some information about it, write to me at julia@honestmedicine.com. Go to honestmedicine.com, which is my website, and you can, you know, you can read chapters from my book.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Julia Shupik, and we'll be talking about her book, Honest Medicine.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Modern medicine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Julie Schopingen, and she's saying that there's so much material out there on the use of low-dose naltrexone that it can actually stimulate the immune system and help with many chronic diseases. Is there anybody, and now I'm sure you read all of the material on this, is anybody who suggested that this might be beneficial in chronic diseases like cancer?
Yes, and you kind of read Dr. Bahari's mind, because some of the people who came to him, just, you know, this is many years ago, and said, I will not take chemotherapy. I just won't do it, you know, or they had taken it the first time their cancer came, and they said, can we try your drug? And he said, well, sure. And in many, many cases, it stopped the progression of their cancers. And, you know, this is quite an amazing discovery of something that really makes the body work, you know, work better on its own. So, yes, it has helped a lot of people with cancers. I don't push the cancer connection as much when I'm talking on the air, because in that case, you know, it's sort of like cancer is a very, very tricky disease. And, you know, here's what I would do if I got cancer. I would use it as one of the modalities that I would use. I definitely would. There are lots of creative things. I myself probably, except for a few different cases, there are a few cases where chemo has been seen to be effective, but I, you know, the chemo scares me. So, as it does many people. But yes, it has been used for many cancers as well.
All right. Now, of course, there are two basic types of cancers. There's the blood cancers, things like lymphomas and leukemias. And then there's the regular run-of-the-mill cancers, the prostate, the breast, the brain. Is there any difference at all as far as in your reading, as far as the cancer treatment for lymphomas and leukemias, any different than for the regular cancers?
You know, I don't think so, because it's been used for every different kind of cancer, you know, so that I don't, you're kind of alluding to a question, you know, about the studies, and there really haven't been, you know, there have been many, many, many small studies done on low-dose naltrexone. There have been studies done at Penn State on Crohn's, studies at Stanford for fibromyalgia, and there was one at University of California, San Francisco, for multiple sclerosis, and you know what? I take it back. A researcher named Ian Zagon has done, Zagon, has done some writing about cancers, but he did mostly animal studies, which Dr. Bahari was not. Dr. Bahari was a clinician, worked with people. Dr. Ian Sagan did a lot of animal studies, you know, and cancer was one of the things that he worked with.
All right, fine. Well, suddenly our guest is Julie Sopic. We're talking about her book, Honest Medicine. Is there anything else you want us to talk about as far in reference to low-dose naltrexone?
Well, just to ask people to, you know, just please don't give up if you have an autoimmune disease. I would like to talk a little bit about the cost of the treatments that doctors are recommending for autoimmune diseases. And they are so costly and so toxic, and I'm kind of out there trying to tell patients, you know, consider this. I in no way make any profit from, you know, there's no profit to be made. There's a compounding pharmacist named Skip Lenz. I think he charges $30 a month, you know, a dollar a day. So there's really no money to be made, and this may be one of the reasons why it's very little prescribed. But it is one of the treatments that I write about. As you know, I write about two Silverlon and two others. But basically, it's the one that has more applicability. So that's why I always like to start talking about it.
All right, fine. So basically, you can get information from Julia's book. And if you'd like to get a copy of Honest Medicine, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Or certainly you can go up on the internet, and there's all sorts of articles there. And once again, what is your website that people can go to and pull down your material?
My website is honestmedicine.com. And if you look on the right side, it has links to every place that you can get the book. And if you just want to take a look at, read the first chapter, there are excerpts that are also listed there, and I'd be delighted if you would take advantage and you know, read some of the excerpts and see if it's a book you would like.
And basically, of course, a lot of the book is written by doctors who deal with these products. Is that correct?
Yes. They contributed their experiences. Most of the stories, though, the true stories, are from patients who have had successes. The other two treatments are intravenous alpha-lipoic acid and for liver disease and with low-dose naltrexone for many cancers.
Well, we will come to that in just a minute when we get back from the break.
Hi, this is George Weiland.
Well, ranchers
to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today.
A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Julie Shopik. And if you have a question, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Julie's written a book called Honest Medicine. I've read it. I think it's an excellent book. Certainly the foreword is written by a physician. One of the chapters is written by a physician, but of course it goes into the background of these alternative treatments, which are certainly are not harmful, and yet, of course, they've not been utilized. And one of the things that Julie wanted to talk about next was the ketogenic diet for diabetics. And now, certainly, diabetics have terrible problems as far as their diet is concerned, and diabetic comas and all of these things. But there's a ketogenic diet which was used long before Big Pharma got involved with the treatment of diabetes. And a lot of children, a lot of adults did very, very well with the ketogenic diet. But you go right ahead with the story, Julie.
Okay, actually, it was for epilepsy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Don't laugh. Sometimes we say something, and it is being looked at for diabetes also. So you're on the right track, because one thing that's awful for diabetes, as we all know, is sugar. And the ketogenic diet, as you're intuiting, you know, has no sugar in it. And this is why it could be very helpful for that, too. But what most people have been using it for is for childhood seizures, childhood epilepsy. And as I pointed out, in the 1920s, the ketogenic diet was the standard of care for childhood seizures. And places like Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic, this was what they used for children with epilepsy. And then in the 40s and 50s, anti-seizure medications came on the market, and doctors stopped being interested in this diet because it's easier to just give a pill. Unfortunately, giving a pill doesn't always work, and a lot of these children were on 3 and 4 anti-seizure medications at once. And I believe, and many people believe, that the ketogenic diet really, because of Big Pharma, introducing these anti-seizure medications, would have really died if something hadn't happened. A little baby named Charlie Abrams had not started to have intractable seizures. Those are seizures that just won't quit. And his father, Jim Abrams, happened to be a Hollywood producer. He was the creator of the movie Airplane, which is kind of a classic in the in the comedy films. And Jim Abrams' son, Charlie, had up to 100 seizures a day. And as Jim points out, our house was full of tears. They were always crying, watching this little baby just have seizure after seizure after seizure. And Jim went to the library. He was able to afford the best of the best of the best, hospitals, doctors. They kept giving the poor baby more medications until he was on, I believe it was 5 at once. And there's a video that I have a link to in my book, In Honest Medicine, showing little Charlie, literally with a harness on his back, a harness around him so that he wouldn't bump into walls. I mean, he was so stoned that on these drugs that he just couldn't walk straight, By this time, he was like a year old, and he just couldn't. And Jim went to the library, and he went to the library not to find a treatment that worked, because he was convinced by the doctors that nothing would work better than what they were doing, And what he found was he went to find out how is my family going to deal with this child who is never going to get better? And what he found was a diet. He found out about the ketogenic diet. He's like, oh, my God. There were small studies done from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, all the way up to the 90s when this happened, you know, when Charlie came down with these seizures. And he said, oh, my God. And he brought these studies to the doctors. They were small studies. And the doctor said, don't try it. It won't work. And Jim said, to my everlasting shame, I listened to them, and I let them operate on my baby's brain. And they did this operation that was supposed to do something, was supposed to help. And right after the surgery, more seizures. And Jim said, enough. And he and his wife, Nancy, took little Charlie to Johns Hopkins, where he was put on the diet. And 48 hours later, seizures stopped, never to return again.
And so Johns Hopkins then was using this diet.
Yes, and still is. And but you know what, Jim, Jim is one of my heroes. You know, there was a doctor who died recently named John Freeman, who was a big champion of the diet at Hopkins. But, you know, I made my decision that it would be Jim who would be, because Jim literally saved the diet from extinction. He and a woman named Millicent Kelly, who also contributed to my book, To Honest Medicine. She was the dietitian who was at Johns Hopkins from 1948 to 1998. And she was kind of a pioneer as well. But the combination of Millie Kelly and Jim Abrams just kept the diet. And, you know, Jim was very, very connected. So when he found the diet worked, he was excited, and then he got pissed. He got mad. He said, why did I have to wait so long to find out about this diet? I can do something. He said, I know a lot of influential people. He got his dear friend Meryl Streep to do an educational video about the ketogenic diet. And word spread really quickly. One of the people who was on the staff, you know, putting together this educational video with Meryl Streep, he also, his full-time job was with Dateline NBC. And so he called them up and he goes, I got a neat story here. And they had, you know, the whole Jim Abrams story about the ketogenic diet appeared on Dateline NBC. And I have links to that video, to those videos in Honest Medicine in my book. And after that, he just got inundated with calls, with letters. He had to build a new room, you know, to fit all the letters. And then he produced a movie, First Do No Harm, with Meryl Streep playing the mom of a child with epilepsy. And the story goes on. But Jim has created an organization called the Charlie Foundation. Anyone who has a child with epilepsy, or even an adult, this diet works beautifully with adults too, charliefoundation.org, charliefoundation.org. And the beauty of this website is it has videos of doctors talking about it, has videos of patients, but the most important thing in my mind is it has a map of the world and all the hospitals that administer the diet. You do have to have the hospital start it, and then later dietitians work with the parents, you know, so that the diet can be done totally at home. But in the beginning, you do have to have, but Jim has really, he says, he once told me, now I can go to sleep at night because I know that I've made it possible for people to find out about the diet. And this is his aim. He has conferences where he has very amazing doctors speaking and patients speaking. It's very incredible what one man has done. You know, he's the man who's changed the face of pediatric epilepsy, without a doubt. And he wrote a chapter of my book, Honest Medicine. And he also wrote the preface, so I feel very honored that he was so wonderful. And he led me to other parents who are big devotees of the ketogenic diet, and they contributed chapters too. And both of the parents who contributed chapters, Emma Williams and Jean McCauley, their cry, it's kind of a battle cry, is our children suffered before we found the diet. And, you know, there is irrevocable harm when you have years of seizures and years of drugs, and their children have damage, you know, from this kind of you know, from not finding the diet earlier. Can I put it that way? I think it's a good way to put it. You know, that they know that their children would be in better shape today if they had found the diet earlier. But they're so grateful that they found it at all, you know. So these are wonderful, wonderful stories. And as you can tell, when I tell Jim's story, I almost start crying because it's so moving, you know, about how he just, the man is amazing. And you know what I think comes through in my book, In Honest Medicine? That it's people, once they have found a treatment that helps them or their children, they will stop at nothing. It's like they have to help other people. Emma Williams, for instance, her son is named Matthew. She has a not-for-profit organization in the UK called Matthew's Friends. And I believe it's matthewsfriends.org. And she is an advocate for the ketogenic diet in the UK, holds conferences, holds, you know, cooking classes, how to cook, you know, ketogenic recipes that are exactly, it's not as easy as just, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to give my child a high fat, low carb, low protein diet. It has to be calibrated carefully to each child, to their weight, to their likes, to their other habits, you know. And these parents are out there teaching, and it's an amazing, amazing thing to me that money, you know what's so wonderful? That here I have found a part of medicine that doesn't seem to be controlled by money, and it thrills me.
Well, I'm just so pleased, and I just hope if any of our listeners do have a child with chronic epilepsy that they will look into this. Now, what was the fourth product that you...
The fourth one is the intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. And this story is rather incredible, too. It will remind you, Dr. Stan, of my Silver Lawn story, because, you know, there's a real similarity here. When Dr. Bert Berkson was an intern in a very prestigious hospital, medical teaching hospital in the Midwest, he was an intern, and he was assigned two patients who came in to this hospital with their livers were failing because they had eaten poisonous mushrooms. And as you as a doctor know, if you eat a poisonous mushroom, your liver will go. And he was told, I know this sounds incredible, he was told, we don't have transplants, you know, livers to give them for transplanting. So they're going to die. And it's up to you, Dr. Berkson, to watch them and take notes and literally follow their deaths and write it up for grand rounds. And Dr. Berkson said, I couldn't do it. You know, I had to try to help them. So, you know, he said, I just couldn't, you know, without trying, you know. So he called up the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and he spoke with a Dr. Fred Barter there and said, is there anything that you know of, Dr. Barter, that will help to regenerate a patient's liver? And Dr. Barter says, as a matter of fact, yes, you called the right place. We're just doing a study on intravenous alpha-lipoic acid. And he said, you know, what we're doing it for is diabetic neuropathy, you know, the lack of feeling in the extremities. And we're finding that people who had liver disease, in addition to the diabetic neuropathy, started to regenerate livers. And would you like to try it on your patients? And Dr. Berkson said, boy, would I. So Dr. Barter sent Dr. Berkson, he sent him intravenous, the alpha-lipoic acid to be infused into the patients. Dr. Berkson did it, and their livers started to regenerate. They started to get better. And wouldn't you think the doctors would have been excited? Not exactly. The doctors, just like the Silver Lawn, in his case, though, they were angry. And they said, you did something that you were told not to do. He said, well, would you be interested in what I did? They said, no, not at all. We're not interested. But all we can tell you is don't ever do it again. And he was kind of shocked. You know, here these patients were getting better. And he said, well, next weekend, same thing happened. Patients came in with failing livers, you know, from eating mushrooms. And he said, I did it again. I gave them, and again, their liver started to regenerate. And by this time, Dr. Burr said they were furious at him, his bosses. And he said, my goose would have been cooked if Dr. Fred Barter and the NIH had not been very excited about my work. And at this point, Dr. Barter came, you know, from the NIH, and they did a study of 79 patients with failing livers, and 75 of them got better. And so Dr. Berkson, who would have been fired, no doubt about it, was not fired because the NIH was watching. And he did say, though, I better get the heck out of organized, you know, of institutional medicine, because he could see that he didn't have a long future there, you know. So he decided to open a private practice, and he's a happy guy in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And as I said, he's written a chapter about his experiences, but he also wrote a wonderful introduction to Honest Medicine, to my book. And he's just an incredibly creative guy.
You know, basically, has he written any articles that appeared in the peer-reviewed literature?
Yes, he certainly has. He's written articles, and I can send the articles to people if you write to me at juliet@honestmedicine.com. He's written articles mainly about pancreatic cancer, because one of his big successes is using intravenous alpha-lipoic acid combined with oral low-dose naltrexone. Here's an example of a doctor who heard about Dr. Bahari and his work with LDN, as low-dose naltrexone is now known, LDN, and decided to combine them. And he's had wonderful results. One of the chapters in my book, In Honest Medicine, is contributed by a patient with pancreatic cancer. Another one about intravenous alpha-lipoic acid is contributed by a woman named Mary Jo Bean, who had a combination of hepatitis C and cirrhosis. And she's always fond of saying, I got them from blood transfusions, not from doing anything like, you know, that a lot of people do to get these diseases. You know, no drugs, no anything. And it just, you know, it's an amazing, amazing story. And a lot of people come to him from all over the world. But he feels that, you know, still, a lot of people who come to him are doctors.
And I will tell you, I've known a number of doctors, a number of personal friends who have died of pancreatic carcinoma. I mean, the five-year survival on this is, you know, 1-2%. I mean, it's just incredibly low. And to end, basically, of course, our good friend, many of our listeners remember Bob Chapman. He died.
Oh, my God, yes. He died of
pancreatic cancer. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is a very important program. I think it's a very important book. We do hope that many of you will actually want to get this material. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You will want to get a copy of this program, or you want to get the book. It's entitled Honest Medicine. Go right ahead, Julie. We've got about a minute.
Then,
of course, we'll have a little time to wrap up the program after that. But go right ahead.
Dr. Berkson has also written a book called The Alpha-Lipoic Acid Breakthrough. And, you know, so that often people will look on Amazon.com and they'll have our books together, I'm proud to say. But his book is wonderful, too.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the thing is that your doctor, he goes to the meetings, he's never going to hear these things. If he reads the medical journals, he's not going to hear these things. And the average doctor doesn't understand that our medical schools, everything is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. Basically, if you listen to my programs with Dr. Sidney Russell Blaylock, they know, the pharmaceutical industry knows products that work, and they're putting them off waiting to get it.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Hold that thought for just a minute. And certainly, Julia is suggesting that people join the patient groups. You'll find them online. She thinks that people should get her book, and so do I. That's why I carry it. And basically, we're carrying fewer and fewer of the new books we come across. There's so many good ones. But this was so good, we just could not stop it. Think about just not carrying it, so we do have it available. A parting thought, one more, about 30 seconds, then we'll let you go.
Well, I'm going to encourage people to think outside the box, to question their doctors. If you don't like the answers, try to find a doctor that will help you out. And go to my website, honestmedicine.com. And if you please, I have sections of the book there that you are welcome to read and see if you like it. I hope you will. And my email again is julia@honestmedicine.com. Please write to me and tell me how you enjoyed it and whether you enjoyed the show.
God bless. Thank you very much, Julia.
You're the best.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Julia Shopik, and we hope you enjoyed our conversation with her at the book Honest Medicine, and certainly the intravenous, certainly alpha-lipoic acid, certainly the Silveron, certainly the other products she talks about, the low-dose naltrexone. All of these things are important adjuncts that you can utilize to help yourself, and certainly the child with epilepsy, the low-ketone diet, the low-fat diet. It's been known to work. These have been used in medical centers, but it's not popularized across America. After all, if you get well without taking insulin, why think of all the money that the drug companies would lose? And that may sound very crass, but it's not. This is the way the system really works, ladies and gentlemen. But what you must understand is that behind this are evil people. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927, because it will take you into the secret societies that are run certainly and by evil people who are frankly Luciferian, who have a population control program, who intend to kill off most of the population of the world. And this next great war is coming. It's going to be a nuclear war, and there's no way you're going to be able to stop it, but you can make preparations that hopefully at least you and your family and your friends may be able to get through this. And if you haven't certainly heard our latest 4-CD set, Did Hitler Escape? Why is it important? Because it demonstrates very clearly that most of what you believe is not true. Most of what you believe has been altered so that the average American will have no idea what is really going on. So we do encourage you to suddenly go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, look at the DVDs, the videos, the four CD sets, the books that we offer, and get as many as you can, anything I have produced. You have my permission to reproduce and get it out. But basically, if there are people out there wicked enough to actually finance Adolf Hitler and then to make sure he escapes and is never punished for the horrible and terrible things he did, well, you need to get the four CD set, Did Hitler Escape, where you actually hear my interviews with people actually who went to South America and talked to people who had actually talked to people who had known Adolf Hitler or who had worked with Adolf Hitler. And basically, this is not imaginary, it's real. And you say, how could anything be that diabolical? Well, the answer is, it's very, very simple. We are dealing with evil and wicked people. There is another dimension out there. And if you don't understand that, you're not in a position ready to help us get the information out. So please, of course, remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and protection, and certainly to do everything you can to get other people listening to our programs so they can be informed about this truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged, a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a song.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who is formerly editor of the New American Magazine, has worked for Republic Magazine, has written extensively, lectures extensively. Okay, today, of course, you can get his articles up on the Internet. He has his own radio program, but William, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Dr. Stan, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I'm deeply in your debt, as many others are, for what you do in terms of trying to counteract, to the extent possible, this cultivated illusion that you refer to every time we have an occasion to speak. And what's happening right now with the case of Clive and Bundy is such a perfect example of what you're describing, the fact that illusion has been enthroned in the place of reality. And just within the last couple of days, as I had predicted last week, in talking with you and in my writings and conversations I've had with people, we've seen the three-stage process begin to unfold. As a matter of fact, we're almost at stage three now, where the government treats an unassimilable enemy in a fashion that conduces toward some kind of disposal, some kind of disposition, whether you're talking about imprisonment or annihilation. In the first instance, they're demonized, then they're isolated, then they're liquidated. It happened with the Branch Davidians of Mount Carmel. It almost happened with the Randy Weaver family, and they're doing it with Clive and Bundy, his family, and his supporters. What happened last Saturday, April 19th, was that a reporter for the New York Times shadowed Clive and Bundy for the purpose of extracting something from a rambling, free-form discourse that could be used to thrown in the public mind the idea that he's an incorrigible racist. And he extracted a 3 1/4 minute section of a very long speech that dealt with, among other things, the way that black people in this country and Latinos in this country have been made wards of the state, and their natural liberties and their potential have been stolen from them. He talked about what happened in the late 1960s with the Watts riots, some of the other civil disturbances that were attended to the civil rights movement, and he said that you're dealing here with people who have been promised freedom and didn't have their freedom. Then he said, we can't go back to the way things were before the civil rights era. In other words, when we had government-enforced discrimination and segregation, that's something that no decent person would want. And from that, he segued, albeit somewhat inelegantly, to a reflection upon the damage that has been done to black families by the welfare state. And he talked about the fact, and once again, the analogy was rather crudely put, that under slavery, even under slavery, for the most part, there, of course, were horrible examples of state-privileged statism in the course of this abominable institution called chattel slavery. But in many instances, families were left intact, and that the damage done to the black family by slavery and by Jim Crow was not as bad as the damage that has been done by the welfare state. Interestingly enough, that same point has been made by, among other people, Jesse Jackson before he was bought off in the 1970s. He spoke in those terms. Dr. Walter Williams, who is a black scholar from George Mason University, has said exactly the same thing. He said that not even slavery and Jim Crow did the damage to the black family, but the welfare state has done. That's the point that Clive and Bundy was making. It's not racist in any sense, yet it has been packaged for public consumption as if it were the utterance of an incurable, inveterate, hidebound racist. And that is the label which has been indelibly affixed to this man as a precursor, I suspect, to his physical liquidation.
Well, apparently he had made a statement, something about the blacks couldn't even pick cotton. Did he make that statement, and why would he have made such a foolish statement? We'll be back in a moment with William Greig.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society, 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cindy had asked William about the remark that Bundy had made to the effect that Sunday blacks couldn't even pick cotton, because that's what they put on television, that's all we heard. Yeah. But basically, of course, what Bundy was talking about, one of the things he was talking about was the fact that certainly the Mexicans, the Spanish people coming to this country, as a whole, are very industrious, very hardworking, very, very attuned to their families. They're family people. They have moral standards, and certainly not the moral standards of the derelict American people today. But go right ahead, William.
Yeah, that's actually the point that he was making. And this is, once again, taken from a roughly three-minute excerpt from a speech that probably went 20 or 30 or 40 minutes. And so the editors there at the New York Times, having sat on this video for 5 or 6 days after they received it, went through it diligently and cut and pasted, actually just cut, excised from this, a three-minute segment. And from that three-minute segment, they whittled out 1 minute that they considered to be damaging, completely orphaned from its context. One of the things that Mr. Bundy said about Mexicans, specifically people who came here illegally from south of the border, was that, yes, they came here in violation of our laws, and they violated our Constitution, but they're here and they're people. That's his exact phrase. They're here and they're people. Don't tell me they don't work hard. Don't tell me they don't pay their taxes. And their families are intact. They love their families. They're wonderful people, he said. And they should be here. And by here, he was talking about this Patriots Day celebration on April 19th, which is a pretty large gathering. It was basically 18th and 19th. They had a party, a picnic. They had a band on the 18th, and the celebration continued through April 19th. And the larger context here was that he said we have to work peacefully to free people from these bureaucracies. And by people, he was talking about Americans of African ancestry in the welfare state. He was talking about the fact that these industrious people from south of the border were getting lured into the welfare state as well. And he said they'll end up becoming, unfortunately, very much like other Americans who are in this relationship of subsidized dependency on the government. He was lamenting the fact that this is something which has been done to black Americans. He was lamenting, in a somewhat anticipatory fashion, the way that the initiative that he sees on the part of the Mexicans coming over the border without government permission, how that initiative is going to be beaten out of them on the anvil of collectivism. There's nothing about that statement, or that extended statement, that could be construed as racist. But the point is, what he said is no longer important. It's what the regime says he represents that is now taken as definitive. And he supposedly represents hidebound, reactionary, incurable racism. And this is a logical and inevitable complement to the character that was offered by Harry Reid last, when he was talking about Bundy and his supporters and the people who'd come to his aid on the 12th, talking about them as domestic terrorists. And when that phrase is used to describe American citizens, specifically when it's used by Harry Reid, the import of it is that he's designated them as people who are fit for summary execution. Because Harry Reid is on record as saying that U.S. citizens who are designated by the president as domestic terrorists or as terrorists are liable to be executed on presidential orders. He's defended explicitly and specifically the murder of 16-year-old Anwar al-Awlaki's son, Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, by a drone strike. He said of the three people, he mentioned three people, Abdul Saul Alakins is one of them, that these three people deserve to be killed, and that he has no problem at all with the idea of summary execution on presidential orders.
In other words, basically, there's no trial, there's no opportunity to defend yourself. You're simply, you know, an order is given by the president, and these people are killed. And, of course, one was the father, who may very well have been involved in terrorism, but his son was not a terrorist. He'd just gone over to the Middle East looking for his father, and
yes,
they sent a drone, and they killed him.
Yeah, he'd been somewhat alienated from his father, and the family was concerned about Anwar al-Awlaki because for several years, he had been in and out of U.S. custody. He had actually been arrested by the FBI and held for several weeks in a prison cell in Yemen. And before that, he'd had a very long relationship with the FBI as a cooperating informant, ironically enough, if I remember correctly. And he was very well known to the State Department and to the Defense Department. He'd become upset over what he saw as an open-ended war against Muslim countries as Muslim countries, not a war against people who were involved in acts of terrorism against the United States. He certainly did not support what happened on September 11th in this country, and he's on record as talking about the fact that nobody should be conducting warfare against civilians for any purpose, whether you're talking about Americans being on the receiving end of that violence or the American government delivering that violence against non-American civilians. What happened in the case of Abd al-Awlaki, and I think this is relevant to the question of what Mr. Reed was saying, is that I am convinced, on the basis of the reporting done by the indispensable and heroic Jeremy Scahill, that Abdul, I believe you pronounce it as Abdul al-Awlaki, the 16-year-old, was killed by the regime, by the Obama administration, as an act intended to punish the family of Anwar al-Awlaki because they had not cooperated in the effort on the part of the CIA to track him down and to take him into custody or to execute him. He'd actually, that is to say, his brother, forgive me, had actually been approached by the CIA a few months before Anwar al-Awlaki was murdered. The CIA had approached him and offered him a bribe in order to induce Anwar al-Awlaki's brother to turn him in. And he had cooperated. And there had been similar offers made, I believe, to other members of the al-Awlaki family. And because they didn't cooperate, I suspect there was a deliberate strike on this 16-year-old child in order to punish the family for having some loyalty, some allegiance that interfered with their supposed duty to turn their family members over to the state when they're designated as enemies of the state. Now, Harry Reid, a little more than a week ago, was making the claim, and it's a false claim. This is something that is not true in any sense. Made the claim that there were children being used as human shields at Bunkerville on the 12th of April. There were some really foolish things said by Sheriff Richard Mack, former Sheriff Richard Mack, to the effect that the women had been put in the front so that if the BLM paramilitaries opened fire, they'd be killing women. That's tactically unwise because we know from the Vicki Weaver experience that these people would not scruple to draw a bead on a woman and pull the trigger, including a woman who's nursing a newborn infant. These are people who are trained to do such abominable things. And it's morally abhorrent because the duty of a man is to get in the way. When a woman is being threatened with violence, as a man, you have a natural duty to get in the way of that and to protect the woman. There's just no circumstance I can think of in which I'd put a woman out in front of me in order to catch fire if rounds were sent downrange in my direction. I just wouldn't do that. I don't think that Sheriff Mack was in charge of the deployment of the protesters on April 12th. I think he got caught up in the moment and in the adrenaline rush said some really foolish things. But Harry Reid embellished upon that by saying that there were children being used human shields there. He must either know that that's untrue or he must not care that it's untrue because it is untrue. And one of the things that that says to me is that they're characterizing people as insurgents. That's actually a word that's been used to describe Clive and Bundy, his family, his friends and associates. These are insurgents. That's a term which is used, of course, to describe people in places like Iraq and Afghanistan who are subject to drone strikes and being disposed of with extreme prejudice by special forces hit teams. So all this rhetoric is being used to dehumanize, to isolate, to objectify, to render abstract these people. And now over this, they've applied the familiar lacquer of defamation by insisting that Clive and Bundy is a hidebound racist. Now, his vocabulary, obviously, is not in keeping with the current standards of politically correct etiquette. And the radical left, the warbot left, obsesses over matters of etiquette. These are people who are willing to kill or imprison others because they violate the rules of politically correct etiquette. And so for the last 2 days now, the million tongues of the instrumentality of official defamation have been chanting the same refrain. What he said was racist, revolting, repugnant, unacceptable. Everybody has a duty to disassociate himself from this man. Actually, at the very front of this torchlight parade was Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, yesterday morning, actually pronounced something akin to a papal bull of excommunication against Clive and Bundy, ordering whoever had listened to him, and I don't know who these people are who would take their marching orders from Glenn Beck, but ordering people to sever your relationship with him, have nothing to do with him. You have to dissociate yourself from this man, not merely the ideas, but the man. Exactly the same exhortation in almost exactly the same language is offered by Charles Krauthammer on Fox News just a few hours later. And then within a little while, Sean Hannity, who had been on the air live with Clive and Bundy every single day up until Thursday.
Hold that thought. Oh, no, go right ahead. We've got another minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say he did exactly the same thing by denouncing the repellent and horrible things that Clive and Bundy had said without even hearing what he had said. He was going off what the New York Times had reported, a few phrases plucked out with tweezers and a paste pot from the one-minute excerpt of the three-minute excerpt of a longer speech, completely abstracted from their context. And on the basis of this, and no doubt marching orders he received from Roger Ailes and echelons above him, Sean Hannity pointedly repudiated him in an act of ritual execration. And that's what's going on with respect to the conservative right. These are people who are stepping away from him and leaving him defenseless. And on the radical left, of course, there are already calls for the use of drones against Clive and Bundy and his family. This is something that has been, in the left blogosphere, a very prominent theme for the last week and a half or so. This is why we have drones, some of these people have said, so we can take out people of this sort. And when we get to this level of dehumanization, this level of exterminationist rhetoric, which is something that the right supposedly uses, when we get to the point where they've actually fitted this man into the familiar template of the charges that lead to liquidation, we're well advanced on that three-stage process. We're no longer here talking about being merely vilified and isolated. I think that they're already planning the liquidation of this man and his family. I certainly hope I'm wrong, but on past performance, I have a dreadful fear that I'm right.
Well, I very much concerned that we're moving into a very difficult and dangerous period. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Grigg right here at The American, right here at Radio Liberty.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging, Longevinex. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Apparently, William and Sidney looked very deeply into the issue of who owns the land, and they're part of this land in Nevada was to be owned by the Indian tribes, by the individual members of the Indian tribe, and Sidney, they held the land. Did they hold that in common, or individuals hold it?
They held it individually. That's one of the things that the misnomer about the way that Indian tribes and bands and nations dealt with property. Many of the Plains Indian tribes, because they were nomadic, didn't really have a concept of having settled title to a discrete parcel of land because they'd use it and then move on. However, in the western United States, particularly up in the Northeez, you get some of the tribes like the Nez Perce, the Flatheads, and others, they had very sophisticated concepts of inheritable title. And in the case of the Western Shoshone, they had an arrangement that was sort of neither fish nor fowl, but they certainly weren't people who practiced some kind of prelapsarian, Rousseauist, noble, savage-type collectivism. They did have an idea of inheritable, transmissible land title. And this was something that was supposed to be the settled state of affairs under the Ruby Valley Treaty. This is not supposed to be disturbed by federal policy. So the Dan family had a discrete parcel of land that was passed on from generation to generation for many decades or centuries even. And like most of the Western Shoshone, they had this arrangement where the family would graze cattle and horses on this tract of land. And they would manage the land in order to make it sustainable. That's one thing that happens with privately owned property. If you want to bequeath it to your offspring, you want to take care of it, as opposed to what happens with collective ownership, where because nobody in particular owns it, everybody simply ignores maintenance of it. Take a look at a publicly maintained restroom for a perfect paradigmatic example of the socialist ethic in action. But what happened with the Western Shoshone is that the Interior Department simply sold itself the land and supposedly extinguished their land rights thereby. And so the Dan family began to challenge this in court because they did not want to be cheated out of their land. They certainly didn't want to accept an insultingly low figure for this property that was being supposedly sold at 15 cents an acre, but was being leased at $1.25 an acre. So they appealed to the Supreme Court. What the Supreme Court said, and I remember correctly, it was 1984, was that their title had been extinguished when the Interior Department took the land into trust and paid itself to steal it from them. And so what they did was the same thing that the Bundy family did. They stopped paying grazing fees on the land because the government had changed the terms under which these grazing fees were going to be imposed. They were not, in other words, managing the land, which is what the Bureau of Land Management purported to do. They were managing the owners off of the land. They stopped paying their fees in about 1993. And in 1998, for the first time, you had the same scenario unfold at the Crescent Valley Ranch of the Dan family that you later had in Bunkerville with the Bundy family. You had the BLM send out a horde of militarized enforcement officers aided by the county sheriff for the purpose of rounding up these cattle and impounding them in order to pay back grazing fees. And in this instance, the younger daughter, Carrie, managed to interpose herself in a way that thwarted the roundup, so they kept their cattle. In the next roundup, the brother, Clifford, at the time he was 59 years old, actually doused himself with gasoline and threatened to set himself on fire if they didn't leave the cattle alone. And he was immediately set upon by officers with fire extinguishers, which is good. I'm glad that they didn't allow him to immolate himself. He was thrown to the ground, and because he was thrown to the ground, there was physical contact. And so he was charged with assaulting federal law enforcement officers with gasoline because they threw him to the ground after he had immersed himself in gasoline. And he was sentenced to 9 years in prison. And the purpose of the sentence, according to the sentencing judge, was to send a message to the Western Shoshone, to the media, to activists, about the iniquity of resisting this illegal land grab. So by 2003, their cattle had been taken off their property. They've been left without anything. They're beneath destitution in terms of their economic status. The older sister, Mary, died in 2005 while she was trying to fix fences on their property. And they supposedly owe millions of dollars in back grazing fees for property that they had made productive use of for generations. And they were accused of overgrazing the land that supposedly belonged to the federal government.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, William.
They were accused of damaging the land through overgrazing. But when the federal government took control of the land, they turned it over on concessionary terms to a Canadian corporation that gouged three open pit mines out of this grazing land and left the area polluted with lead and cyanide and all kinds of heavy metal toxins that apparently don't cause as much damage as private known livestock caused the land. So it's a consummate fraud from teeth to tail, and it's of a piece with what's been done with the Bundy family.
And it sounds like there's some people in Washington, D.C. are probably getting a payoff.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme. It's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
This is Dr. Stan, because the area out there, certainly in Nevada, where William Bundy has been, are making certainly an effort to oppose the dictates of the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. Originally, a lot of this land belonged to the Indians. It was misappropriated from them. And I don't know exactly how Bundy got to his family, but they've had it for well over 100 years. But the Indians certainly were in the same sorts of situations. And basically, of course, the government came in and literally expropriated their property and said that they couldn't graze on it because it wasn't their property anymore. And they offered them something like 15 cents an acre for their land. And when they turned it down, then, of course, they continued grazing their cattle on it. And suddenly they were criminals. Now, why didn't the federal government simply take them to court? Because they knew that if they got into a court situation and there was a coordinated effort, they would lose. That takes us to the case of Wayne Hayes.
Yeah.
Would you want to mention Wayne? Because Wayne took this case all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of the United States agreed suddenly that what the federal government was doing. Have you ever asked why the federal government suddenly has not gone after Bundy simply through the normal legal way? Very simply, they know what they're doing is unconstitutional, and that's exactly what's happened to some of these Indian families as well. And so they claim they own millions of dollars in grazing fees, and the fees for not paying the grazing fees, but they don't take them to court because they know that if it ever gets to the Supreme Court, they will be found to be illegal, and what the federal government is doing is violating its own constitution. What about Wayne Hayes?
The thing about Wayne Hayes, he's going to be up here in Boise in a couple of weeks. I'm going to have a chance to be part of a panel discussion with him and perhaps interview him, but I hope I have the opportunity to do both, able to do both. Is that in his ruling of almost exactly a year ago, I think it was May of 2013, from a circuit judge, a federal circuit judge there, a federal district court judge, the phrase used to describe the conduct of the BLM and the Forest Service was criminal conspiracy. These agencies were involved in a criminal conspiracy against the legal and property rights.
Well, this didn't go to the Supreme Court. It was just a circuit court, a circuit judge?
It was a federal district judge.
Okay,
go ahead. Second, if I remember correctly, it was kicked back down from the Supreme Court. So it made the climb all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was remanded, if I remember correctly how this worked, it was remanded to the district court, and the district court judge looked at it and said, obviously, you've got a lengthy process that is a criminal conspiracy against the right.
Basically, in effect, the Supreme Court has said, we'll more or less go along with what the district court says. Go ahead.
Exactly. And so, as things stand right now, the BLM is recognized as a criminal syndicate in its management of land in Nevada, over which it has no plausible constitutional legal claim. And the treatment of the state of Nevada as a whole is of a piece with the way that the Western Shoshones have been treated. Nevada has a really interesting history. It was brought into the Union as one of two states that were formed during the Civil War. And the only one that was formed in anything akin to a legal fashion is West Virginia was formed out of the territory of the existing state. That's unconstitutional. What happened with Nevada is that the Republican Party played fast and loose with the demographic threshold for creating a state. I believe they're about 20,000 people short of having the number of citizens necessary in order to have congressional representation, but there was a fear in 1864 that Lincoln might lose the election because you had McClellan and Fremont both running, and this tripartite race led to the suspicion that the Electoral College might be deadlocked and the election would be thrown to the House of Representatives. The Republican Party wanted to have three congressional seats added to their roster in order to ensure Lincoln's re-election in 1864. And to that end, they fast-tracked statehood for Nevada. As it turns out, that concern was unfounded. Lincoln didn't need that additional boost because the election was not thrown into the House of Representatives. But by that time, the process is quite mature, and they brought Nevada into the Union in 1864. I believe it was October, November of that year. And the reason why they did this, in addition to the political concern regarding Lincoln's reelection, was the fact that it was a resource-rich state. This is the Silver State. They had deposits of silver that were there to be exploited. And it was also part of the overland route from California to bring gold across the rest of the continent into what was the fractured Union at the time in order to fund the war effort. This is a time before the government was able fully to monetize wars by simply printing money. I mean, you had some of that going on under the Lincoln administration, but they still, for the most part, needed specie in order to maintain the war effort. So it was strategically important. To that end, once again, they fast-tracked statehood. And one of the things that happened was that the Enabling Act passed by Congress for creating the state of Nevada, I believe was Article 36, Section 10, spelled out in detail the purposes for which there would be federal institutions built in Nevada pursuant to the Enclave Clause, which is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the U.S. Constitution. That permits the federal government to use certain property acquisitions to build military forts and ammunition magazines, things of this sort, very limited, specific things for which they could acquire property. They could not acquire property en masse. In other words, they had to have these narrowly defined tracts that would be federal property. And once those federal tracts are taken into the custody of the federal government, they are forever part of the federal government. That's something that's considered to be proper constitutional form, and the state constitution of Nevada recognizes it. Those things which are federal property pursuant to the limitations within the U.S. Constitution are federal property, and then the state of Nevada has relinquished claims to them. However, this section of the Enabling Act, once again, I believe it's Article 36, Section 10, or Section 36, Paragraph 10, is 36 and 10 of the Enabling Act in any case, talks about the fact that once these purposes had been fulfilled, once these limited acquisitions by the federal government had been made and the facilities had been constructed, the federal government promised to sell off the remainder of the land of the state of Nevada. It was not going to retain ownership over those lands. Now, why is this important? It's important for, among other reasons, because until about 1845 or 1850, much of the what now would be called the Eastern United States was owned by the federal government. States like Illinois and Florida, for instance, had been 75, 85, even 90% owned by the federal government, and the federal government had been forced to relinquish its claim on those vast swaths of territory east of the Mississippi by selling them off. In other words, before 1864, before Nevada was brought into the Union, it really was one of the first of the Western states to be brought into the Union. It was the custom and practice of the federal government to sell off the lands of these territories that were brought into the Union of States. It was a practice to get rid of federal control of this land, but that changed. And after the war, when the Homestead Act went into effect, it manifest destiny plowed its way westward among displacing Indians and violating their rights in the process, I have to point out. Once manifest destiny ran out of room on the Pacific coast, the federal government decided that it would no longer be in the business of relinquishing claims to these new territories. These territories that were brought into the Union were brought in basically as colonies rather than states because they're, for the most part, owned by the federal government. The federal government claims to own no less than 80% of the land in Nevada, and it's completely unconscionable. It is completely illegitimate from a constitutional perspective. And so when you on television about how these lands belong to all of us, this is the most patent nonsense. These lands are illegally held, unconstitutionally held by the federal government. It has no claim to this land beyond the fact that it has prohibitive force in terms of exercising its jurisdiction, and the instrument for exercising this claim jurisdiction, this completely invalid jurisdiction, is the Bureau of Land Management, which was created, if memory serves, in 1946 when the Office of Public Lands was merged with the Grazing Service. And starting in 1976 with a federal enactment that was the Federal Lands Policy Enforcement Act, the BLM actually became a law enforcement agency. To this date, if I'm not mistaken, there is no government entity on the face of planet Earth in any country that lays claim to more territory than the Bureau of Land Management. It's not one of these agencies that gets a whole lot of attention on the other side of the big river, as I like to say, on the other side of the Mississippi. Because on the other side of the Mississippi, the federal government doesn't claim ownership over most of the land. But over here, you know, west of the 100th Meridian in particular, the Bureau of Land Management is, for all intents and purposes, the CHECA or the KGB when it comes to the management of what is claimed to be public land. And that's the behemoth against which Clive and Bundy and his followers arrayed themselves. And they were the first, so far the only, actually to use what has to be called insurrectionary force. That's not an illegitimate concept. Go back and read what James Madison had to say in the Federalist Papers about the purpose of the right to keep and bear arms and the purpose of the unorganized citizen militia in beating back an aggressive and lawless federal government. That's something that he contemplated and he explicitly talked about in the Federalist Papers. So far, Bundy and his family and supporters were the first actually to stand the gap against an unlawful, unconstitutional land grab by the BLM. I earnestly wish that back in 2003, the Dan family had been able to turn back the last of the five cattle roundup, cattle seizures by the BLM. They're not the only members of the Western Shoshone tribe who's been treated this way. There's a fellow by the name of Raymond Yowell. He's 84 years old now. He's a former chief of the Western Shoshone. He had the same thing happen to him in 2002. The BLM showed up to confiscate his cattle because he had not been paying these illegally imposed grazing fees. They confiscated his 132 head of cattle. This is from an article that was published a few days ago by Fox News and shamefully underreported, shamefully underpublicized. They sold the cattle at auction and used the proceeds to pay off a portion of the back grazing fees the BLM claimed that Yowell owed. Once the cattle were sold, the agency sent Yowell a bill for the outstanding balance of $180,000. They've been garnishing his monthly Social Security check since 2008 to satisfy the debt that Yowell says he does not owe. This is what he says. This is not Clive and Bundy. This is not somebody who can be caricatured as a white racist or a racist of any stripe or variety. This is a former chief of the Western Shoshone tribe. There's a definite pattern in the West beginning in the 1990s, maybe in the late 1980s, of what I feel are illegal cattle seizures. Bundy's case is the latest example of that pattern. Certainly due process of law was not followed in my case, Yowell told Fox News. When we were kids going to school, learning the white way, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And one of the things I remember saying is liberty and justice for all. Well, that's certainly not the case. And he's got an active claim that's going to the Supreme Court. He's filed a petition that would be heard on June 4th. On the same day, essentially, that the BLM stormtroopers showed up at Bunkerville to confiscate Clive and Bundy's cattle, the U.S. Solicitor General's office was granted an extension in Yowell's case in order to file a reply to his claim. And one of the other things I find interesting here is that Yowell admits that the cases are not the same, but there are commonalities between his struggle and what Clive Bundy was attempting to do. The biggest difference, of course, is that Mr. Yowell, as former chief of the Shoshone, may have an even stronger claim that's rooted in sovereign treaty rights. But, of course, those are ignored as well, as all of the property rights were ignored by the Green Gestapo. And because everybody's talking about the supposed racist iniquity of Clive and Bundy, cases like that of the Dan family and Mr. Yowell, the Shoshone, Western Shoshone Indians who've been treated the same way by the BLM, those cases are being ignored entirely. And I think that's one of the purposes of demonizing Clive and Bundy and making him sort of the marquee player in this melodrama. I wouldn't mind at all if the attention, the spotlight, spotlight were taken away from Clive Bundy and put on these Western Shoshone Indians. But it's not because they have a stronger claim. It's because that deprives the land grabbers of an excuse that they're dealing with hidebound reactionary races. They simply do not respect property rights.
Well, we're going to have to interrupt you here. We want you to tell our listeners, Sydney, how they can get to your website, how they can listen to your radio program, how they can certainly, support you. And basically, we do hope that many of the people out there in the listening audience will support William and his family. We support them, Barbara and I, because we think the information they're getting out is very important. And William, certainly, when you have this meeting with Wayne Hayes, I hope you get his name and telephone number for me so that we can get him onto our program, because we think his battle is important. The fact that he won the battle, the fact that the district court carrying out the directions of the Supreme Court held that what he was doing was correct and the federal government was wrong. Is the federal government still going after Wayne Hayes, or have they backed away?
Well, what they're doing is they're refusing to follow the terms of the order. They're refusing to pay him the judgment that they owe him, and these are the same people who loudly declaim upon the supposed repulsiveness of what they call the deadbeat rancher Clive Bundy.
Okay, and basically, you know, the federal government is refusing to follow the federal law. They've been told by the court, give Wayne Hayes a certain amount of money.
I will bring this up with him, and I'll make sure that I get his contact information.
Okay, fine. But then you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, hear your program, how they can support you, how they can certainly get your articles, which are published on a regular basis. Go right ahead.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is my blog, Pro Libertate. It's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or type in my name, William N. Grigg. And Pro Libertate should be the first return. I publish once or twice a week, depending upon my circumstances. There's a PayPal button at the right-hand margin of the page and at the bottom of every essay. I'm also set up to accept Bitcoin. I do have misgivings about it, but I'll accept it because, quite frankly, we're in such impecunious state right now, I'd accept anything that's negotiable. I also write quite frequently for lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. Not only does he republish a lot of what I write at Pro Libertate, but I also contribute to the blog section of that website. Very well read, very widely disseminated website. My radio program is entitled Freedom Zealot Radio. It's on every Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Liberty News Radio is the outlet. Go to libertyroundtable.com, libertyroundtable.com. In the upper right-hand quadrant of the page, there's a Listen Live Now button. It's a pre-recorded program. This week's program is going to be about the Clive Bundy situation and about the case of Mr. Yole and the other Western Shoshone who have been treated just as abominably, or if not more so, by the BLM. And I do have a Facebook page. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. At Blarney Con Carney is my Twitter handle. My YouTube channel is called the Freedom Zealot Channel. And once again, my main outlet is still Pro Libertate, the blog, Pro Libertate, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. That's where people can find my PayPal button at the side, the right-hand margin of every essay, and at the bottom of every article that I publish.
And are any of your books available at the present time?
I'm still working on that.
All right. Well, William has written about 6 books. You can get them certainly off of Amazon, but he certainly is a prolific writer, and it's just a matter of time and raising his family that keeps him from getting more and more books out. But certainly go to lewrockwell.com. Lewrockwell.com. You'll find William's articles there on a regular basis. Just hold. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Since Dr. Stan, we need one more time. Please put out your webpage so people will know how to get to you and how they can reach you through email or other sort of other means.
My website is freedomintheworld.com.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. God bless. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Dr.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoy our weekly interviews with Sidney Wynne Greig. He's one of the most articulate conservatives we have in the movement, and a man I have a great deal of respect for. He's been a speaker at our conference, and we'd like to get the talk that he gave. It is available to Radio Liberty. We have a number of very prominent people who've been to our conferences, and you can find them listed on our website, radioliberty.com. But if you didn't hear Dr. Professor Blaylock's excellent talk on vaccines and brain development. You need to get that. Vaccines and brain development. Get our 4-CD set. Interviews with Russell Blaylock. And then, of course, we have so many 4-CD sets and video sets and DVDs on many, many subjects. We have a wonderful 4-CD set with Constance Cumby of the Aquarian Conspiracy going into the powerful occult forces working behind the scenes.
The modest price is only $195.
Why is aspartame important?
Well, we have a 4-CD set with Betty,
and then we have a DVD.
That's 800-544-8927.
Why is that? Because they're intentionally poisoning
the American people.
So if you love your
children and want them to succeed,
call
800-544-8927.
Ladies and gentlemen, aspartame is in 14,000 products. It breaks down into formaldehyde and methanol. You can check this out on the internet. Don't take anything I say. Challenge everything I say. There's a lot of lies. Conscious effort to conceal information, but if you study it, you'll find out that the aspartame in 14,000 products breaks down methanol and formaldehyde. What's a safe dose of methanol? There is none. They're poisoning the American people. And you need to hear the 4-CD set. You need to hear the DVD.
You would like to try Martini.
And we have some of our books as well. And you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
800.
Now, do you know that actually Hitler escaped Sydney following World War II and lived out his life in South America? If you want to verify this, certainly we carry two books on that subject. One is Hunting Hitler. The other, Sydney, is called Gray Wolf. But you want to get the 4-CD set where I interview the authors of these books who actually went to South America and talked to the people who had actually been there, who'd known Adolf Hitler and heard it. If this is true, how could that conceal something like that? Well, very simply, they control the media. We carry the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor. But you must understand that most of what you were taught in school, most of what you hear in church, most of what you read in the newspaper and in magazines and in books and see on television just is not true. There's an organized effort to conceal the fact that Adolf Hitler was encouraged, was financed from the United States, and that is covered in a book called by John Loftus, and we recommend his book very, very strongly. And we just call and ask for the book by John Loftus, certainly about Adolf Hitler and how we financed the Nazi movement. Why, it's available, 1-800-544-8927. Well, if that's true, why doesn't everybody know it? Well, because, of course, the occult movement controls America. And basically, the reason that Hitler was financed was because he was deeply involved in the occult. And the reason he was helped to escape is because the leaders of the United States and of Great Britain and of the intelligence units in both the United States and Great Britain, the CIA, and MI5 were deeply involved in the occult as well. World War II was phony. It killed 60 million people, and the coming war is going to be much worse. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.